Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's August the 15th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Ken Smith of the Andersons in Clymers, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, a new plan has been floated that would allow FDA to collect user fees to pay for import inspections. It would also give the agency the authority to create mandatory recalls and to require country of origin labeling on food. And if you've been wondering just about the ramp up of ethanol production in the United States, we have the year-over-year percentage increase for 2007. Dave Dickey will give you those numbers and much more on the other news stories later in this program. And then we'll hear a commentary from Kirk Bilta at the Champaign County Farm Bureau. And as always, on Wednesdays, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City just after the bottom of the hour. He'll help us take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby September wheat lost 14 cents at $6.78.5. December at $6.97, down 14 as well. September corn futures gained a half at $3.28. December up a quarter at $3.45.25. And the March contract at $3.60.5, unchanged for the day. December futures down a penny and three quarters at $3.94.75 for next year in the corn pit. That's the 2008 contract. September futures in the bean pit at $8.39 today, down 12 cents. November's down 11.5 at $8.54.5. And January futures lost 11.25 cents at $8.70.5. November beans for 2008 at $8.79.5, down 11.75. September bean meal futures at $2.27.80, down $5.60. September bean oil 12 lower at $35.84. At the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle 92.12.5, $1.10 higher. October futures at $95.92.5, at 77.5 cents on their gainers. February, or rather August, feeder cattle at 116.17.5, 47.5 higher. September feeder cattle at 116.37.5. They were up 57.5 cents. October lean hogs down $1.22.5 at $68.57.5, and the February, or rather, the pork belly's August contract at 30 cents lower at $74.20. Outside markets now: September crude oil futures $73.23. They were 85 cents higher today at $73.15. $1.13 is the gain in the October contract for the crude oil futures. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,987. And it's just about 42 points lower on the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the losses in the bean pit, please.
Well, they were rather aggressive. And I think it is in a two-part area. You know, the beans have been more or less the leader of the complex as well as the wheat here over the last several weeks. And we did see a sell-off today in the soybeans. And it was based, I think, on some better chances of rain with hurricane-type weather, and also some better chances of rain in the Midwest. Also, the financial world seems to be of a major concern. Seems like the world stock markets, the subprime interest rate debacle that we're looking at, are all adding up to confusion. And yes, there is a direct correlation between the weakness in the stock and equity markets and the grains and traded on the Chicago Board of Trade floor. So we do see that the two things are a little nerve-wracking and has created some weakness, and we think that the rainfall, some of the major problems, ocean freight, for example, is very expensive, barge freight's expensive, and the market decided to take a breather in the soybean complex.
Is that direct connection you're talking about between the financial world and the agricultural world and the pits, did that show up yesterday?
I think it's been the last several weeks. Some of the boom has been taken out of the hedge funds, and the lightening up was the stock market. It started earlier in the year with the oil market breaking, and then the stock market, and then some of the other market, and this interest rate debacle has also created a major deal about there's more risk in doing business, and so there's bigger margins, and what people are willing to invest a little less, and that's the reason why I think that people are backing away from commodities as well as the stock, and anything that has to do with the risk at all is being weaned down a little.
We have the 20 and the 50-day moving averages posted on our website or on our ability to take a look at the marketplace. And the nearby lead option soybean breaking through both of those, I'm going to assume it broke through the 40-day as well. Does that change the trend for you?
Well, the trend is definitely down. And when we analyze from the past about what happens if in these dry areas of Illinois, if we get a generous rain by August the 20th, so to speak, there'll be some maintenance, whether it'll keep the yield at 41.5 and the national average will be a question mark, and it'll also be a question mark if we can keep the yield at 47 bushels to the acre in Illinois. Our general impression is that the crop is smaller as of today, even if we do get generous rains throughout the state by August 20th and also, the following week in the Delta and the Southeast. So it's a guessing game, but also the market decided to weaken a little bit, and I think that it's a combination of the world financial community is taking a pause here. And, what it needs is a good discount rate cut by the Federal Reserve to maintain some stability in the financial community.
Let's talk a little bit about the corn market. Yesterday, USDA's numbers showed a surprising number, I think, probably for many of us, of the acres had dented across the Midwest, especially in Illinois. Does that give you pause to think that the grain fill has been completed to some extent, and that this crop is smaller than what had been expected in the corn as well?
When we talk to our friends in Iowa, I ask them, do they think it's 180 bushels to the acre? And the answer is no. And do I think the Illinois corn crop is 175 bushels to the acre? And, the answer, 178, and the answer is probably no. And if we take FC Stone's 148 and the government's 152.8, somewhere around 149, 150 is what I think the real crop size is today. That's if we do get some stabilizing rains in the Midwest. Our general impression is that the crop is maturing. And in the past, when we've had some wet August and wet early Septembers, the crop probably wasn't as mature, and we did have depth of kernel weight increase and size increase, and it did add up to a lot of bushels. I think this is a little different year as well. The corn market seems to shrugged off the bigger production number. I know the Chicago crowd likes to talk about a bigger crop, but the market seems to be pretty stable in here, and I think the major season's lows are already put in for that commodity.
So you're saying the season low is there for corn, but probably more to go in the soybeans then?
Well, I think we'll have some very solid footing north of $8 in the beans. The bean market, the 41.5 bushel yield per acre is basically a minimum carryover of 220 million. You know, if we ever get anything below 200 million bushels of soybeans in the U.S., that's a very tight carryover, and I think that basically sends a signal of very strong prices. We're going to be hearing the word two things, you know, in the marketplace. We're going to see some acreage shifts, you know, more wheat acres, or at least a strong demand for wheat acreage, and also maybe corn acres going to soybeans. But the old crop bean acreage increase needs to increase, and we don't really see the big acreage increase in South America at this time. So there's some really great fundamental bullish ideas with the demand here in all three major pits, and I don't think that we're going to see a train wreck, so to speak, here in the next few weeks or months as we go into the bean harvest. And I think the smaller yield is also going to help stabilize that commodity.
Wheat futures tried to put some gains in for the day, but finished lower and put in an outside down day.
When you get a bushel of wheat delivered to Europe, it's an expensive commodity. You add the Chicago price and the delivered price with the added transportation costs, it's a very expensive commodity, and we realize that the French in euro dollars hit a new high yesterday. The feed wheat is being substituted by massive amounts of corn and milo and moving in from South America and the milo moving in from the U.S. The wheat market is expensive, and we understand that, you know, there's some feed wheat here in the hedged in the U.S. That's creating some economic problems. But the wheat market is still in the discovery phase of just how high it needs to go to put a major top in. We won't know that. A chartist won't know that, or a cycles person, until after it's happened for 30 days, Todd. But we can only say it's very expensive, and it's still in the discovery process, unfortunately.
And anything to add on the livestock before I let you go?
Not really, but have a profitable day, and we're looking forward to the meeting in Terre Haute, Indiana, on the, I think it's the 21st at 7 o'clock, and hopefully everybody will be there.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see you next Tuesday evening.
Have a good one.
All right. That's Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. As he mentioned, I'll be down in Terre Haute on Tuesday evening next week at 7 o'clock at Terre Haute Grain, Kay Whitlock and Paul Cooley. And Wayne Nelson will be on hand. There's also another one in Terre Haute on that same day with the risk management folks. And Dave Dickey will be in Terre Haute in the morning hours that day. You can find out more about that on our website at WILLAG.org.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the two-state region, it says for tonight, in northern and central sections, skies will be partly cloudy. There will be some showers and some thunderstorms. In the southern sections, partly cloudy with an isolated thunderstorm possible. Lows this evening will range from 65 in the north to 76 in the southwestern part of Illinois. Tomorrow, in northern and central sections, partly sunny across the two-state region with periods of showers and thunderstorms. In the south, hot and humid, a slight chance of a thunderstorm. Highs tomorrow from 83 near Lake Michigan to 100 in southwestern Illinois. There is a severe thunderstorm watch out for northern Illinois until 1 o'clock. That was this afternoon, so we don't need to go through that anymore. That's a complete look at what's happening across the two-state region. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at the bottom of the hour about the Midwest and the globe. In just a couple moments, Dave Dickey will be here with a complete look at today's agricultural news. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
In agricultural news, House Energy and Commerce Chair John Dingell is floating a proposal that would allow the FDA to collect user fees on foreign shipments to pay for increased import inspections. The plan would also give FDA mandatory recall authority, require country of origin labeling on food, establish a certification program for importers, and limit ports where imported food can enter the U.S. There is no companion legislation yet in the Senate. Brazilian officials are warning that the European Union's interest in buying vegetable oil from the country rather than biodiesel could become a barrier for exports of Brazil's biofuel. The remark was attributed to Brazil's chief of staff at a Monday seminar in Rio de Janeiro. The Renewable Fuels Association says U.S. ethanol capacity has risen more than 20% in 2007 to about 6.5 billion gallons a year. The largest producer of ethanol is ADM, with annual production of just over a billion gallons. The RFA says 76 plants are currently under construction and another 7 are expanding. If all go online in 2008 or later, total capacity will reach 12.9 billion gallons a year. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin says a conservation security program will be in the 2007 Farm Bill, or there won't be a bill. The version passed in the House suspended new CSP contracts through 2012. Harkin says that won't fly.
That's totally unacceptable, and that won't happen. We will continue signups in the CSP program next year and the year after and the year after, all the way through 2012. My goal is to have 80 million acres in CSP by the end of this Farm Bill.
Harkin is expected to chair the House-Senate Farm Bill Conference Committee after the Senate version is approved. Senate debate on the measure could come in October. Costa Rica will vote on October 7th on whether to ratify a free trade deal with the U.S. Among the provisions of the Central American Free Trade Agreement, a provision to zero out the duty on U.S. beef, graded prime or choice. Currently, the duty rate is 18%. John Deere and Company is consolidating dealerships, sending a number of North American outlets out to pasture, including some that have passed through families for generations. John Deere CEO Robert Lane says times have changed, and dealers must match the sophistication and size of agribusiness customers. Lane says, and this is a direct quote, "For years, we talked about Deere as a family. The fact is, we are not a family. If someone is not pulling their weight, you're not on the high-performance team anymore." By contract, dealers must meet Deere's performance targets or face losing their right to sell Deere products. In 2006, Deere had 2,984 dealer locations, down 12% from a decade ago. And USDA Secretary Mike Johanns has reestablished an advisory committee on foreign animal and poultry disease. Johanns did not cite a specific reason for his action. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you of two things today. The first, as always, visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. The other is a reminder to come out and visit me tomorrow morning on the South Farms right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'll be dispatching the wagons into the research plots, and you can talk to the scientists and researchers that have been working for you all year long during Agronomy Day tomorrow. It's the 51st annual Agronomy Day. Kicks off at 7 a.m. in the morning. Your opportunity to see what the U of I has been up to all year long in those research plots. The hour-long tours will be dispatched right through the noon hour. Starts at 7 a.m. in the morning, not too awfully far from the Assembly Hall, just east on St. Mary's Road. I hope to see you there. Well, up next, in today's Listener Opinion Forum, Champaign County Farm Bureau's Kirk Bilta says the Farm Bill is about much more than agriculture.
With the clock ticking ever closer to the Farm Bill's September expiration date, Our nation's leaders are working diligently to provide a 2007 Farm Bill that will provide funding guidelines for research and trade, as well as farm payment programming that meets the needs of producers. The United States House of Representatives passed the 2007 Farm Bill on July 27th, sending the bill to the U.S. Senate. The passage of the Farm, Nutrition, and Bioenergy Act of 2007 approved a $286 billion five-year budget that will provide reliable safety net for our nation's farmers. Oftentimes, commodities are the only Farm Bill title that is spoken of. However, this year's bill does much more than support farmers. In fact, just 13% of the bill will go directly to farmers, leaving an additional 87% of all monies available for other programs. According to the House Agriculture Committee, the Farm Bill has made historical investments in conservation, nutritional programming, and renewable energy sources. Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson says Farm Bill covers much more than farming. Rather, it is about the food we eat, the clothes we wear, and the fuel that we will use in the future. And indeed, it is. With funding earmarked for world trade and the research for alternative renewable fuels, we are making great strides towards energy independence. Conservation has received a $25 billion boost from this year's bill. However, the largest allocation of money is rarely spoken of. Yes, over 60% of this year's Farm Bill goes directly to nutritional programming. This title provides $190 billion worth of funding for our nation's food stamp program, school lunches, worldwide food relief, and other nutritional programming, helping those in need around our country and around the world. This year's Farm Bill has caused controversy and debate. It has even been referred to locally as a pork project due to its, quote, emphasis on farm subsidies. We ask that you take a closer look at the 2007 Farm Bill. With well over half of all funding earmarked for nutrition, we must trust that the priorities of our elected officials and we as producers and industry leaders is to continue to supply the world with a safe and reliable food supply. From the Champaign County Farm Bureau, I'm Kirk Bilta.
Kirk Bilta's comments are his own and reflect his opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just give us a call. The number, 217-333-0850.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Ken Smith of the Andersons in Clymers, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Ken.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Thanks to you folks up at the Clymers for filling in again and this Wednesday for Kate Whitlock, who's actually back, but just back for a few hours today and wasn't feeling up to the task of talking about the cash grain basis in her area. I bet you are in your area. What's been happening?
You know, right now, Todd, we are seeing rapid development of the crop with this heat and dry weather. Cash basis levels have been relatively firm. We have seen some limited movement of grain, but it still seems like there's enough demand. Certainly, CSX markets have been relatively strong the last few days. But we're still kind of on that cusp of harvest just being close enough that people want to try to talk the market down, but maybe not enough movement to break the market yet, Todd. So basis levels generally have been steady firm. But I think we can all see harvest is probably going to be sooner rather than later as compared to normal.
And sooner rather than later, I was across the state of Illinois to the central part, Springfield, yesterday, and it sure looked like there might be some corn harvested within the next, certainly within 2 weeks, but maybe within 10 days, I would think. How about in your area?
You know, we certainly to the south of us see some corn that would be run in early September. There is corn in our area that is black layered. So shortly after Labor Day, we will see some limited harvest. And we're probably a week to 10 days, I think, ahead of a normal pace for our area. So, you know, we are certainly, you know, we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, I think, here.
Tell me about wheat in your area for your bids at this point and what you make of what I suppose is, well, we're up at the contract highs for wheat at this point.
You know, in our area, Todd, we are seeing some elevator movement of wheat, mostly a function of making space for to handle, you know, corn and beans rather than carrying wheat. You know, we do have a big inverse in wheat, so at some time we know it's going to be right to move wheat out. Given the relatively cheap basis that we see for corn and soybeans, I think many commercial managers are thinking, you know, shouldn't I make room for corn and soybean crop to service our existing customers? So we are seeing some wheat. We do see strong demand in the export market, but, you know, maybe you know, maybe some of that business is showing signs of slowing here. So wheat basis has been basically steady to better. Kind of expect some commercial wheat movement here very quickly to make room for corn and soybean space. And then, you know, once we get into harvest, probably expect wheat basis to get better. You know, if you made the decision to hold wheat at that time, you're going to want the market to compensate you for that. But, you know, we are at that stage where we are seeing some commercial movement of wheat to make space for corn and soybeans.
Ken, thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
Ken Smith is with the Andersons in Clymers, Indiana. In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with Drew Lerner. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Governor Blagojevich is defending his plan to increase health care spending without permission from Illinois lawmakers. He says his proposal, as in his words, as constitutional as it gets. The governor said he'll cut $500 million in wasteful spending out of the budget, but he's refused to provide an example of the waste he's criticizing. Earlier today, House Speaker Michael Madigan called Blagojevich's plan contrary to the Constitution. Madigan contends the governor can use his veto powers to cut spending, but not to increase spending in areas where the legislature had designated less. Today, the governor also left open the possibility that he'll cut projects supported by some lawmakers, but not projects for Senate Democrats. Democratic Senate President Emil Jones is supporting the governor's budget plan. The first official candidate has come forward for the state representative seat currently held by Republican Bill Black. Republican Terry Baldwin says colleges and universities are being left behind by state lawmakers. Baldwin teaches chemistry at Urbana High School and has been an alderman in Danville for 8 years. He says he's been considering a run for state office for some time. Black is retiring at the end of his current term next year after more than 2 decades. Executives at Ameren say the company plans to spend $229 million on reliability and customer service improvements this year. The utility faced criticism for slow response to widespread storm outages last year. St. Louis-based Ameren provides electricity to more than 1 million customers. Officials with the utility tell the Illinois Commerce Commission that they want to cut customer outages by 25% by the end of next year. Ameren also plans to improve coordination of repairs after bad weather. Labor officials in Indiana say it will be several months before they release their final report on a fatal accident at the southern Indiana coal mine. 3 men were killed when a construction bucket tipped as they were being carried down a shaft at Gibson County Coal near Princeton. A 15-year-old Moultrie County boy says he has plans for his share of the cash from the sale of a grand champion steer named Yahtzee at the Illinois State Fair. Nicholas Day of Lovington says he wants to attend the U of I to become a veterinarian, and the money will help pay for that. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about this hot, dry weather we've been having. Will it continue?
Well, I think it's going to have to continue for a little while longer in some areas, mostly in the far south. We are looking at a cool air mass that is going to come southward out of Canada. In fact, it's already pushing its way across the region as we speak here. It probably won't reach into those drier southern areas until we get out to Friday, but there will be an opportunity for a few showers to pop up when the cool air does finally get into the lower parts of the Midwest, down into the Delta, and even in the Tennessee River Basin. The amount of rain that will fall, though, is going to be rather restricted in those southern areas still, just simply because this atmosphere is so very dry and the tropical storm Aaron will be depriving the region of any big influx of moisture from the Gulf of Mexico for a while longer. With the storm being in Texas, all the heavy rains are going to fall there, and when the cool air comes across the Midwest, it's not likely to bring much moisture with it. So whatever rain falls has to come out of the atmosphere as the atmosphere cools, and there's not a lot of moisture there. So I don't think there's going to be a tremendous amount of rain initially. Now, as we go into the latter part of next week and on into the following weekend, Tropical Storm Dean is supposed to, of course, move inland at this point, maybe into Mexico, northern Mexico. And if that's the case, once the storm system passes on and gets out of the way, we should see the Gulf of Mexico open up as a normal source of moisture for the Midwest, and that should improve the opportunity for rainfall beginning at the end of next week going on out into the last days of August. But that's the earliest that I can really get meaningful rainfall to occur in a general sense.
Yeah, the meaningful rainfall is not looking good over the next 24 or 48 hours then. I take it there are some calls for rain over that time frame.
Well, some showers. Now, I'm talking about the area primarily from Kansas into the Ohio River Valley. It would include southern Illinois and southernmost parts of Indiana. I don't want to imply there won't be any rain whatsoever, but the showers that occur are just not going to be capable of producing enough precipitation to bolster topsoil moisture and change the crop stress level. We'll have to wait a little longer for that to occur. Now, there'll be plenty of rain that will occur just to the north of this region, from Minnesota and South Dakota and Iowa on eastward into Michigan and Ohio. Most of this region will see showers and thunderstorms more frequently than not over the next coming week to maybe as much as 10 days, and the end result will be a continuation of favorable crop areas, crop conditions in those areas.
We appreciate you being with us for the day, and that is Drew Lerner, who is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. He joined us here on the Closing Mark Report on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.
While many other radio stations have eliminated or severely cut back on the agricultural service they provide, WILL has made an even stronger commitment to our ag services. This is Les Schulte, Director of Corporate Support. If this information is important to your business and customers, consider supporting this station with your dollars. Call 217-333-0850 for more information on the business programs available for you.